ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter number 1, entitled The First Step in God Realization, text number 1. Shri Shuka Vacha,
Shri Shuka Vacha,
Varyanesha Te Prashnaha,
Varyanesha Te Prashnaha,
Krito Loka Hitam Ripa,
Krito Loka Hitam Ripa,
Atma Vit Sammatah
Pumsan,
Vyadishu yaha paraha
Shri Shuka
Vacha
Variyanesha
Te Prashnaha
Krito
Loka Hitam Ripa
Atma
Vit Sammatah
Pumsan
Shrota Vyadishu yaha paraha Shukavacha,
Priyanesha
Te Prashnaha,
Priyanesha Te
Prashnaha, Krito Loka Hitam Ripa, Atma Vit Sammatah
Pumsan,
Shrotavyadishu Yaha Paraha. Translation, Shri Shuka Vacha,
Shri Shuka Vacha,
Shri Shukdev Goswami said,
Shri Shukdev Goswami said,
Variyan,
glorious,
Eshah,
Eshah,
this,
Te,
your,
Krishnaha,
question, Kutaha,
made by you,
Loka Hitam,
beneficial for all men.
Nripa,
O King,
Atmavit,
transcendental,
Sammatah,
proof,
Pumsam,
of all men,
Shrota Vyadishu,
in all kinds of hearing,
Yaha,
what is,
Paraha,
the Supreme.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. Sri Shukdev Goswami said, Sri Shukdev Goswami said, My dear King, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing. And it is approved by all transcendentalists. Translation, please repeat. Sri Shukdev Goswami said,
My dear King,
your question is glorious
because it is very beneficial
to all kinds of people.
The answer to this question
is the prime subject matter for hearing. And it is approved by all transcendentalists.
Purport.
Even the very question is so nice that it is the best subject matter for hearing. Simply by such questioning and hearing, one can achieve the highest perfectional stage of life. Because Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Person, any question about Him is original and perfect. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that the highest perfection of life is to achieve the transcendental loving service of Krishna. Because questions and answers about Krishna elevate one to that transcendental position, the questions of Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna philosophy are greatly glorified. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to absorb his mind completely in Krishna. And such absorption can be effected simply by hearing about the uncommon activities of Krishna. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that simply by understanding the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's appearance, disappearance and activities, one can immediately return home back to Godhead and never come back to this material condition of material, this miserable condition of material existence. It is very auspicious, therefore, to hear always about Krishna. So, Maharaj Parikshit requested Shukdev Goswami to narrate the activities of Krishna so that he could engage his mind in Krishna. The activities of Krishna are non-different from Krishna himself. As long as one is engaged in hearing such transcendental activities of Krishna, he remains aloof from the conditional life of material existence. The topics of Lord Krishna are so auspicious that they purify the speaker, the hearer and the inquirer. They are compared to the Ganges water which flow from the toe of Lord Krishna. Wherever the Ganges waters go, they purify the land and the person who bathes in them. Similarly, Krishna Katha or topics of Krishna are so pure that wherever they are spoken, the place, the hearer, the inquirer, the speaker and all concerned become purified. Om Agyanthimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhisham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinakaranam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we have started our journey in this huge area. It's like this second canto, or each canto is like you can compare it to a land, and then we travel on that land in various areas. So each canto, as we know, it discusses all 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. So they are like different places. In a country like Australia, you will find desert and, you know, green area and lakes. There is ocean, there's long coastline. So like that, Srimad Bhagavatam also takes us through different areas, and we gain experience by traveling through Srimad Bhagavatam. So here in second canto, we read the invocation yesterday. Kopavindesh Prabhu described, he gave the summary of whole second canto, so that's very nice. So now we begin this first chapter. So here Shukdev Goswami is starting by saying that the question asked by Parikshit Maharaj is very glorious. So these are perfect questions, and perfect answers would be given also by Shukdev Goswami. So why is this question glorious? That is described here. Loka hitam. So loka hitam means it's beneficial for all men. So that's why it's glorious. You may ask question, and it may be for sense gratification. And the answer to such questions won't even benefit us, or what to speak of others. But here, the questions asked by Parikshit Maharaj at the end of first canto, they are loka hitam. They are for the benefit of whole world. So one who hears these topics about Krishna, they are purified, and ultimately they go back home, back to Godhead. So here in purport, Prabhupada mentions that simply by hearing about how Krishna appears in this world, what activities he performs, and how he disappears, just by knowing these simple pastimes, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma nehi mam iti sojana. So just by knowing the transcendental nature of these activities, we may know these activities. So many people know these activities. They recite about these activities. In India they have Bhagavad Saptah. They recite these activities. They are well versed, but they don't know the transcendental nature of these activities. Divyam, janma karma chame divyam. So that is known only by devotees, and they can reveal it for us. So here Shukdev Goswami is speaking about these topics which he has fully realized. So these topics are very confidential and very elevated. And Shukdev Goswami saw that Parikshit Maharaj is the right candidate, so I can reveal everything. And these topics are purifying whoever hears them. So here example given by Prabhupada in the purport is of Ganges, that these topics are compared to Ganges water. So Ganges water, wherever it flows, it purifies the place, and whoever bathes in Ganges, they are purified. So that's the beauty. So these topics of Krishna or Krishna Katha are compared to Ganges. In Gita Mahatmya, it is explained, there is a verse, it says, Bharat Amrita Sarvasvam Vishnur Vakra Dinesitam Gita Gangodakam Pitva Punar Janmana Vidyate. So here it says, after drinking the water of Gita, this nectarian water, these words spoken by Krishna, after we hear them, so there is no birth and death after that. We are liberated. So Ganges water, why is it purifying? Because it has come from the lotus feet of Krishna. It was Vamandev, who is the expansion of Krishna. It's non-different from Krishna. So Ganges water has particles of dust from the feet of Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita or Krishna Katha, which is spoken by Krishna, comes from his mouth. So for Krishna, there is no difference between mouth and the feet. We sing every morning, Angani Yasya Saklendriya Vritti Manti. So his each limb can act in the same way. It can perform the functions of other limbs. So whether something comes from his mouth or from his feet, it has same potency. So that's why these topics spoken by Krishna or spoken about Krishna, because both these topics which are spoken by Krishna or about Krishna, they are called Krishna Katha. So all these topics are as pure as it's compared to Ganges water. So it's purifying. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have both types of Krishna Katha. Krishna also speaks and devotees speak about him. In 11th canto we have Uddhava Gita. In 1st canto itself, Krishna speaks in 7th chapter to the Pandavas, when Arjun was chasing Ashwatthama. today's this conversation. So, Shukdev Goswami is not being shy. He is revealing everything to Parikshit Maharaj. And that is actually true for any pure devotee or a guru. So he reveals everything. So why does pure devotee reveal everything? He can keep it to himself. He is relishing the nectar. But why does he reveal? Because he wants to expand the service. So he is serving Krishna by remembering smaranam. So that's a seva. So if you remember about Krishna, it's a seva. So he is doing seva, continuous seva. But he wants to expand it. So that's why he recites it, so that everyone can benefit. At least the qualified people can understand and they can also serve Krishna. So a pure devotee wants others to serve Krishna also. He is not selfish. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita it's given, Yadyapi amara guru chaitanya radasa tathapi janiyami tahara prakasha. So here it's mentioned that my guru is the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he is like the plenary manifestation of Krishna. So guru is none other than Krishna, he is expansion of Krishna. So disciple considers his guru as expansion of Krishna or Krishna himself, and he serves guru in that way. And guru reveals everything to his disciple, and then he observes him. So he guru wants to expand his service through his disciple. So he is observing his service attitude and he wants to improve his service attitude so that service can be expanded properly. And he wants his disciple to expand the service also. So this is like a chain reaction. So this is the test of pure devotion, of preaching, that we want to expand Krishna's glories. So we cannot be selfish that, okay, we know everything, we won't share it with anyone. So more we share, we realize more and the service is expanded more. A preacher actually, or every devotee who wants to expand glories of Krishna, he thinks that actually others are more qualified than me. If they take up this service of expanding the glories of Krishna, they would be much better than me. So he thinks like that. It's like generally it is seen like when there is a father, he feels happy if his son earns more than him. The same way guru is happier if his disciple is more qualified than him. So that's the mood of a pure devotee. He wants to push everyone towards Krishna. We see in the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He considered his mother, Suniti, his Shiksha Guru, because she sent him to forest to search for Supreme Lord. But he was much more advanced. He did the penance and he became perfect. So he was much more advanced. And then when the time came, when he had to go to Godhead, the Pushpak Viman came, he stepped over the head of death and he was about to just start his journey in the Pushpak Viman. But then he thought about his mother. But he saw that his mother was also going towards the Vaikuntha. So therefore Prabhupada mentions that if disciple is very advanced, by his advancement his guru can also get benefit. So this is the real test of a pure devotee, that if we are helping others to come to Krishna consciousness, so the real test is, just if we can think mentally, okay, I'm trying to help one person, to come to Krishna consciousness, and what if he becomes my immediate authority because he becomes more advanced and he gives us instruction? So we should be ready for that. So that is real test. Can we do that? So then that is real preaching. We want to help someone to become, to go much above us. Then we can fully expand ourselves. Otherwise we will be holding back something. We won't tell everything. So in order to do that, we see this example as Shukdev Goswami is displaying that. So you need to just tell everything, all the confidential facts. And the disciple who is qualified, he hears it very attentively and absorbs the essence of it. So this attentive hearing is so important that in the beginning of first canto it's mentioned. Suta Goswami told the sages of Naimisharanya that I sat close to Shukdev Goswami when he was describing these topics of Krishna to Parikshit Maharaj, and I heard it with rapt attention. So there Prabhupada mentions that just hearing is not enough. We have to hear it very attentively in order to realize those facts, those essential truths, what we are hearing. So we have to be very attentive. And there in purport, it's very famous purport, there this whole there are different stages given. So why we cannot fully pay our attention? Because our mind is not pure. Mind goes here and there. And mind cannot be pure if our actions are not pure. So whole day we do different actions and then we have different impressions. So mind will automatically go towards wrong things. And we have wrong actions because we are not regulated in our eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's what Prabhupada writes in the purport of first canto, third chapter. So we have to improve our eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also mentions that yukta har viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta sapna vabodasya, yoga bhavati dukha. So we have to regulate ourselves. We have to try to come to mode of goodness as much as possible. And then we can, when we sit in Srimad Bhagavatam class, we can absorb the topics. So in mode of goodness, we can stay in the present. So that's the benefit of mode of goodness. And when we are in present, we can understand, hear those topics. So it's like if someone is predominantly in mode of ignorance, so we may have eaten so much at night or early in the morning, and then it's too much sleepy. So when we come to Srimad Bhagavatam class, it's like a burden, you know, we are sleepy and it's very hard to absorb the message. And mode of passion means intense activity. So we want to do intense activity. So we are waiting, we are making plans, okay, when the class finishes we'll do this, you know. So it's like full passion. So it's like when the class is about to end, we are expecting, oh, now that's the last point. You know, it's like, you know, when the athlete has to run, it's like they say, on your marks, get set, go, like that. So when in the end the speaker is there and if the hearer is in mode of passion, he's like ready to run away quickly. So the speaker says, so thank you very much, Granth Sahib, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So that's like, it's like on your mark. So he's like attentive. Okay, any questions or comments? He's like almost ready to run. And then, okay, Jaya Srila Prabhupada, and that's it, go. So that's mode of passion. So mode of goodness means we can sit here and absorb. We can be in present and hear the message. And then maybe we will apply it. So that's what is important. And Parikshit Maharaj here is exhibiting that. He is very patient. He wants to hear more and more. He is asking more and more questions. Gopal Deshpur was explaining that Shukdev Goswami could have told the gist of it, just in one or two verses, but he explained in many verses. And Parikshit Maharaj was also eager to hear more and more the expanded message, and he was drinking it. So this is like nectar. This is Krishna Katha is like nectar, and Maharaj Parikshit was drinking it through his ears. So Krishna is the real sense object, and we can use all our senses we become like receptacles. It's like we become containers. We can get as much Krishna as possible through all our senses. So there is in 10th canto, there is this pastime where Krishna, Arjun and Bhima, they went to defeat Jarasandha because they had to perform Rajasuya sacrifice, and in order to do that, all the kings should have been defeated, but Jarasandha was the only one left. So they decided, okay, we'll go there. So they went there, and then there was a fight between Bhima and Jarasandha, and Krishna indicated Bhima how to kill him, and he did that. He followed his hint, and then Jarasandha was killed, and then his son Sahadev was coronated as next king. And then what happened was, there were many kings who were imprisoned by Jarasandha. So they were released. So there it's described how when these kings came out of imprisonment, because of long imprisonment, they were shabbily dressed, and they were emaciated, they were very thin because of hunger. And they were, because of stress, because they were thinking all the time, now he would kill us, you know, any moment. So they were in mental stress, and physically they were totally, they were deprived of any food, much food. So their senses were like hankering for nectar. So there it's described, when they saw Krishna, when they came out and they saw Krishna, and the form of Krishna is described. He had his beautiful clothes, yellow silken dhoti, and all the ornaments. So when this, and his beautiful limbs. So when they saw Krishna, it was as if they were drinking Krishna through their eyes. It says, Pibanta iva chakshubhyam. So from eyes they were drinking Krishna, and they were fully satisfied. So we have to take darshan of Krishna like that. So as if we are drinking Krishna. And the next one, there it says, and they were looking at him as if they were licking him with their tongues. So I don't know how to do that. So, but it says there. And then also they were like, they were taking him in through their nostrils also, his beautiful smell coming from Krishna. And they were embracing within their hearts, with their arms, as if they were embracing. So physically they were not doing that, but their whole consciousness was like accepting Krishna within them. They were accepting Krishna within them. So, and they felt so satisfied after that. And then they prayed. They made wonderful prayers. So in their prayers, they said that the kingdoms that we had or have, they are like mirage, like they're like, it's called Mriga Krishna. They are just temporary, so they are not real or factual. So, and it takes a lot of energy. We use our bodies to maintain these kingdoms, and we are not satisfied fully. But when we see you, we are fully satisfied. So this is one example which is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, how these various kings were so detached because they were getting Krishna. And here Parikshit Maharaj also, he became fully satisfied. It is said for 7 days and nights he didn't drink or eat anything. So it's not that he was renouncing. He was drinking Krishna all the time through his ear. So that's why he was drinking all 7 days and nights. He was drinking actually. like that. So actually, for pure devotees, there is no renunciation. They are accepting these real sense objects, the real tastes, real flavors. So one time there was Gaur Kishordas Babaji, and on the occasion of disappearance of Sanatan Goswami, which is actually tomorrow, incidentally. So there was this disappearance day of Sanatan Goswami, and Gaur Kishordas Babaji called everyone, "Oh, please, everyone come, we'll have a festival." And everyone was surprised. This is Babaji Maharaj is saying festival, he's so renounced, he never does festival or feasting. So they were surprised. So they said, he said, "Yes, everyone come, we'll chant 2 lakh names, 128 rounds. That's our feast, that's our festival." So these pure devotees are actually feasting on topics of Krishna and on name of Krishna and deriving full benefit. It's not that they are not nourished. In the beginning, we have no taste for Krishna Katha. That's why we feel it's like a burden. Or when will our rounds finish? Pure devotees, they cry out of ecstasy when they chant the holy name. And in neophyte stage, you know, one may cry when he sees his counter beats, "Oh no, 8 more left and 9 o'clock at night," you know. So he may cry like that. But if we just stick to the process, then what happens is our disease of jaundice, as Rupa Goswami mentions, it is cured. And then we develop this taste, and then we can actually feast really. And it is said actually in the beginning, a devotee when he eats prasad, he sees the quantity and the externals, how it, you know, looks like, and you know, the externals. So which is also good. Anyway, we are getting purification when we accept prasad. But when an advanced devotee accepts or honors prasad, he sees the quality of that prasad. He can feel the quality, the bhakti. So this is the difference. So we are all aspiring to become advanced in devotional service. So by hearing these topics again and again, we can be really nourished. An example that Prabhupada gives in third canto, it says that we may like to enjoy materially, but it's just like when there is freshly prepared food, it's very enjoyable and very inviting, nice smell, and it's fresh. But after 3 or 4 hours, it may become very stale. So same way, this material body that we have, in the beginning, in youth, it looks very nice, fresh, or we can enjoy. But in the old age, it becomes very distasteful. It gives pain, so much pain. So why to invest so much time in taking care of the material desires? We must take care of our spiritual desires, and then we get the permanent benefit. So Shukdev Goswami is describing these principles to Parikshit Maharaj, and in this third canto especially, second canto especially, we will see that a lot of philosophy is discussed. Chatushloki Bhagavatam is there, and a lot of important verses are there. So this philosophy will help us to carve our plans accordingly. So these principles are like, these are like guidelines given to how to live life, how to live our each day, how to make decisions, which we always have options, whether to do this or this, whether to sit in Bhagavatam class or not sit in the Bhagavatam class. We always have these choices. So these instructions actually tell us what is the right choice. So this material existence, we know it's compared to a great ocean. And these instructions given in these scriptures, they are known as a bridge. Like Lord Ram, he made a bridge to cross the ocean and reach Lanka. So same way, these, another meaning of this word setu or bridge is that it is helping us to go from this material world towards the spiritual world. So it's like a bridge, these instructions given in these scriptures. And another meaning of word setu, it is said it's like a dike. So dike means it's like a, they build these walls or they put some stones or sand so that water doesn't run into the fields. So same way, these instructions are like the boundaries which help us not to go, not to stray away from the main path. So if we follow them very nicely, so then there is no problem. So Krishna, actually there it's mentioned in 10th canto, Krishna is called Swasetu Palamar Varya Sharmakrit. So it means these laws, who decides how to act? So here it says Swasetu means Dharmam Tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Krishna is the one who decides how we should act. So this morning I was discussing with a devotee. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that you fight because I am saying, I am giving you this order, you fight. But if you reject my order, you will still act in the same way because you have acquired those modes of nature and I am instructing you perfectly. But if you don't follow the authority, you will anyway work in the same way because you are a kshatriya, you will anyway fight. So fight as I am saying, okay, you have to kill your relatives. So you must do it. So these are the laws decided by Krishna. So we cannot say, but my feelings are in a different way. Our feelings should be in line with these laws created by Krishna. So Swasetu, his own laws are there, made by him, which are very perfect. And these laws are maintained by these demigods. So Amara means all these demigods. All they maintain through this nature. So we in our life, we feel every day we have different problems. So they may come through demigods, but ultimately Krishna takes care of devotees. So we have to see Krishna's hand in everything, each and everything. And then we can really be satisfied that actually Krishna is taking care of us. Otherwise we always feel that, you know, something is wrong and this other person is troubling me. We shouldn't see the immediate cause. We should see in a bigger picture that how Krishna is helping us to bring ourselves, to take us to himself, to connect by bhakti yoga. So that's what is exhibited here by Shukdev Goswami, his nice nectarian instructions to Parikshit Maharaj. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. I've never heard that story of Dr. Shadas Babaji before. Where is that from?
I heard in a lecture by His Grace Rukmini Krishna Prabhu, who is a temple president in New Delhi. So I'm not sure of where it's mentioned, but there are biographies of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. It must be there. A few biographies there. I'm not sure about the authors.
So when did they turn up? They came to the festival.
At least one was there to whom he was mentioning. So I'm not sure about.
I think he read that.
You chant. Okay. So some devotees turned up, as Prabhu is mentioning. Anything else? Hare Krishna.
But what should we do if we still find ourselves like, I think the word fashion, even acting, eating prasada, you know, and trying to go everywhere. And that's what we do, to try to, you know, to be in that mood of fashion sometimes, you know, to be in the Bhagavad and that, and think, you know, I need to go and do this, I need to go and do that.
Sorry, prasadam, I didn't understand that.
No, that what else should we do? Like, we find ourselves to see acting in the moral fashion.
Okay. How to. What I understood was how, like I was mentioning, we want to do other things and plan other things while we are in Bhagavatam, so how to come to mode of goodness. So it's. Is that right? So yeah, it's like a cultivation by practice. So. Yesterday we were discussing in Brahmachari Ashram with devotees that how by practice actually we can change our habits. So we have this habit from long time to be in mode of passion and ignorance. So those modes are pressing us. So by habit we change slowly, step by step. We try to come to mode of goodness. So what is mode of goodness means? Mode of goodness means we are in knowledge, we are organized, clean, we are truthful, so all these qualities. We try to organize our lives in a way so that we don't have to rush into various things. If we are organized, we know what we are going to do in a bigger picture. Some things may come up, but some things are fixed every day. So that's why every day we have morning program, Mangal Aarti. Prabhupada said if we come to Mangal Aarti every day, that we will very quickly come to mode of goodness. And what we were discussing yesterday was, if you do an activity over and over every day for 1 year, it becomes an habit. So that's why we have to do it every day, slowly and slowly, whatever we can do. So if we have a habit to eat big at night, so definitely next day we will be in mode of ignorance while chanting, while in Bhagavatam class, if we eat like a big feast, massive feast, at 9 o'clock. So then definitely, so slowly if we have that habit, how we can do, we can't stop it immediately, we can reduce it. Okay, instead of, you know, one big plate, I'll take a normal size plate and then slowly cut it down to a normal size. So like that, by just practice, slowly coming to mode of goodness. Does that help? Any other questions or comments? Hare Krishna.
On the matter of goodness, also referring to our association,
yes,
the food that we eat, people we associate with, the type of work that we engage in,
definitely,
ultimately our desire.
Yes.
We desire, you know, motive, passion, sort of activities,
yeah.
So cultivate, we wish to be in the matter of goodness.
So as we were discussing that verse from Bhagavad Gita, Yuktahar Vihara states in 6th chapter, Krishna says we have to get our eating, sleeping in line. So we have to plan correctly when we, how much we are sleeping. It shouldn't be varying too much here and there. It should be, there should be one standard. It may vary here and there due to services and other circumstances, but it should be like, it is said actually, we shouldn't be, our daily schedule should be like that. It should be like an automatic, which we should have a plan. And then that's mode of goodness. We have a plan, okay, in the morning I go to Mangal Aarti, and then this, you know, this is my service, like that. It's like plan, organized fashion. If we go like that every day and not get carried away by so many things, then it's very easy to be in mode of goodness. Yes, sir.
Before a similar question was raised, and Anisha commented that moral and three modes of nature is also categorized according to your intention behind your activity. So we may run around and look like very busy and passionate, but you know, if our intention is to please Krishna, then it's not more passionate.
That's right. That's even not mode of goodness, that's transcendental goodness. Based on our desire. It is said in Bhagavad Gita, mode of pure goodness is, if you your desire is to please Krishna. A mode of goodness may be little bit level down, because you want knowledge, you know, knowledge and happiness like that. So one in mode of goodness, which is good. Then ultimately you can come to pure goodness. In mode of passion, the main desire is to attract the opposite gender. Prabhupada writes in in 14th chapter, I think. So that's what is driving you. You want to, you know, impress the opposite gender. And in mode of ignorance, there is no desire, or it's just too much laziness. It is said mode of ignorance is like, I don't know what's happening, and I don't want to know what's going on. So that's mode of ignorance. What's that, you know? So like that. Yes, Prabhu.
Just one comment. As you said, we have to be very attentive, whatever we are doing, whether it is in house and class, or we are doing material, even the computer, you try to do another order, shake it, pick, it won't do it. So one thing at a time, as you said, very good.
All right, thank you very much. Granthas Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nisai Gosar Nandayi.